Good morning.
Good morning.
Centuries ago, the psalmist said, "This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Welcome all to Naples United Church of Christ on this Palm Sunday. My name is Mark Williams, and I serve as the senior minister here at Naples UCC. And welcome especially to any who may be visiting for worship today. We hope that this is a place where you will sense the unconditional love of God living amongst God's people. Would like to welcome as well any who may be connecting with us online, especially the community at Arbor Trace.
And I'm Reverend Angela Wells Bean. I'm the Minister for Congregational Care here at Naples UCC. And it is wonderful to see all of you on this Palm Sunday and the start of the holiest week of the year. As Mark said, a special welcome to our guests, those who are visiting with us this morning. We are so privileged to have you with us. And after worship, we would love for you to get to know Chelsea Godwin. She's our coordinator of membership and stewardship. She has a table in our church's gathering place, which is that courtyard that you walked through on your way in, and Chelsea can answer any questions you may have. So please make your way there after worship today. And I'd like to ask everyone to register your attendance with us. So if you're here in the sanctuary, please take those blue attendance pads that should be at the edge of your pew and take a moment to fill it out and then pass it to your neighbor. And if you're joining us remotely, write your name in the comment section and tell us where you're worshiping from this morning. And while you're there, you can click on a link which will pull up a PDF of our bulletin if you'd like to follow along. We want to make one quick announcement about something happening between services today, which is that we're having another series of our Intersections program. Intersections is sponsored by our Board of Christian Education, and Rich Kirshner, the chair of the board, is going to interview church member Roberta Buckley. She's a longtime church member and will be speaking about the history of our church, and that should be a wonderful conversation. So that's upstairs in Nelson Hall, in Nelson Hall 207, right after worship. So get a cup of coffee and make your way there for that conversation right after worship.
Today is the last day to make a gift toward the 2024 Easter flower offering. If you have not yet done so, be sure to make that a gift today. The offering will go to support refugee relief in Southwest Florida, and more information about that offering is in your bulletins, and today is the deadline. On Wednesday of this week, our noon Lenten meditation worship service series will continue here in the sanctuary. Pastor Angela will be preaching about the spiritual discipline of service, and Ryan Little will be providing our music. That's this coming Wednesday at noon here in the sanctuary.
And then continuing our Holy Week observances, we will have a Monday-Thursday service here in the sanctuary on Thursday evening. It's going to be a beautiful service, tenebrae with candlelight and music and communion by intinction. So do join us on Thursday night at 7 p.m. as we celebrate Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples.
And of course, one week from today, Easter Sunday, three different worship services planned. At 7 o'clock, we will worship at Clam Pass for a sunrise service. It should be absolutely beautiful one week from today. And then at 9 and 11, worship services here in the sanctuary for Easter. Many of the youth from Youth Haven will be our special guests on Easter Sunday, so be sure to connect with those youth on Easter Sunday a week from today. And then finally, there will be an Easter egg hunt planned on Easter Sunday, immediately following the 9 o'clock worship service. So if you're a parent or a grandparent here, we would love to have you come for our Easter egg hunt following the 9 o'clock Easter worship service. And then finally, a couple of notes about our worship service today. If you're a parent or a grandparent and your child or grandchild is not participating in the children's musical, just following the musical, you can meet up with our Director of Christian Education, Jeannie Snedeker, and the other children in the narthex for the programming that will be happening until about 10 o'clock. And we would love for those children to participate with the others. others. And then finally, there is a moment in the children's musical this morning when Theophilus will ask for a congregational response such as rejoice. And when you're asked by the king to rejoice, you will respond, rejoice. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for worship. We unite our hearts and voices together in an invocation prayer printed in our bulletins. God of grace and truth, we gather in humility and hope because we believe you have the power to change the world, to change it for the better with your love. We gather because we believe no one is beyond your concern, no one is beyond your embrace. Such unconditional love riding atop a donkey astonishes us. In this hour of worship, inspire us as we celebrate a kingship like none other.
I invite you to be in a spirit of prayer with me as I offer this morning's pastoral prayer. Almighty God, on this holy day of palms and passion, we have many mixed feelings. We remember your son's triumphant entrance into Jerusalem with the people shouting praises and waving their palm branches. We join them with our own praises. And yet we remember that this wonderful processional for your son becomes another kind of parade before officials and booing crowds. Instead of the crowd singing his praises in just a few days, they are shouting to crucify him. Our hearts are broken by those very shouts and the pain and suffering he bore in the days to come. We confess that we too might have been with the wrong crowd. And so we ask you, O God, to help us get it right in this holy week. Help us to be loyal disciples, not turncoats, for we know that it is because of Christ choosing to enter Jerusalem and taking the path he knew he was taking, that indeed there is hope, grace, and love for each of us. And there are still so many in need of hope in our world. There are so many in need of your grace in our world. And indeed, O God, you know that there is so much need for your love in our world. Help us to lay down our cloaks once again, for we need Jesus to ride on. We need Christ to ride into Jerusalem to the cross, because we still need healing, we still need transforming, we still need renewal and new life. Whether we are part of the disciples or part of the mob, whether we are celebrating or suffering, whether we are lonely or depressed or struggling with health concerns, whether we are grieving, empower us with strength and courage and with the assurance that you are with us world without end, so that we might draw closer to you in this journey of Holy Week. We pray this in his name, the one who rode into Jerusalem on a humble donkey, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is the palm story according to the Gospel of Mark. So it's Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, and you're invited to follow along in your bulletins if you'd like to. Let us hear this sacred story. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Just say this, The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately. They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
The triumphal entry, some 2,000 plus years ago in the capital city of Jerusalem, a parade bigger than the Rose Bowl parade and the Macy's Day parade combined. The great Jewish historian Josephus recorded that over 2 million people may have been present, for a king was set to arrive, a king who would rid the Jewish nation of Roman oppression. For years, the Romans had bullied the Jews, persecuted the Jews, and finally the day had come when a liberator would show up and go at Rome on Rome's terms. The Jews began to wave palm branches, like flags you might see today, waved by countries who were unwilling to give in to political regimes. They began to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna," meaning save us now, not save us from our sin, but save us from the Romans. And here comes the king riding in on a great big war horse. You know, a 5-star general atop a horse that maybe was behind a motorcade. A president behind some black Suburbans. Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, atop a noble steed. Braveheart's William Wallace, saddled on a giant horse. Here he comes, the king. A poor 33-year-old carpenter shows up, riding on a donkey. Yes, a donkey. I get the sense in Mark's gospel that Jesus wanted to be known by his ride. For biblical scholars are quick to point out that in the gospel of Mark, when you think about the triumphal entry story, part of what you get is not a lot of information about Jesus, but a lot of information about, yes, the donkey. The history of the donkey, where it came from, how it was tied up. Perhaps, just perhaps, Mark wanted Jesus to be known by his ride. And we can relate, can we not? For often a person's ride is wrapped up in their identity. I mean, who would Batman be without the Batmobile? Who would James Bond be without his Porsche? Who would Hulk Hogan be without his Harley Davidson? Some of you can recall many years ago the name Robert E. Lee, the famous Civil War general. His ride, his horse Traveler, was so wrapped up into his identity that Traveler was buried in a grave right next to Robert E. Lee, adjacent to Washington and Lee University in Virginia. For we know that sometimes a ride can communicate something about a person's personality. And we also know from the book of Revelation that when Roman kings came riding into cities, they would do so atop great big white war horses, similar to the Clydesdales that you might see on Budweiser commercials. If you ask me, Jesus's ride of choice was intentional. The donkey was Jesus's way of sharing back with millions in the capital city of Jerusalem that he would be an entirely different kind of king, ushering in a kingdom with heavenly values. And make no mistakes, donkeys were just as foolish then as they are now. From the hit 1980s birthday party, Pin the Tail on the Donkey, to the video game Donkey Kong, right up through your favorite green ogre movie Shrek. When you think about it, donkeys have endured a long history of absurdity. Jesus' ride of choice? A donkey. The donkey was Jesus' way of sharing back with those who had lined the streets that he had no intention of playing ball with Rome on Rome's terms. No intention of being a king like Herod and Caesar. No intention of instituting a kingdom that was defined by violence and by power and by greed. Rather, the donkey was the foolish way Jesus could communicate to everyone on the streets that his kingdom would be rather different, a kingdom defined by peace, inclusion, and unconditional love. I'm riding into Jerusalem on, yes, a donkey. Many years ago, a PhD in homiletics by the name of Rick Lisher preached a famous Palm Sunday sermon at Duke University Chapel. And in that sermon, he used a sermon illustration to illumine the foolishness of this king who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Lisher was speaking to a group of students, and he was telling a story about a young seminary student who was called perhaps to the ministry, but was still in a mode of discernment. And one summer, he decided that he would go and work in downtown Chicago as a bus driver. And as he was working as a bus driver, there was a gang of three or four teenage boys who were being rather rowdy. And every day at a bus stop, they refused to pay the fare to get on the bus. They would often intimidate some other travelers on the bus. And one day, this young man who was driving the bus decided to do something about it. And he turned to them and said, "You have to pay the fare like everyone else. Please do so." And these young men decided to beat him up by the side of the road. And he was bandaged and for months had to get back on his feet. And then finally it came time for these young people to go to trial for what they had done. And the judge called in to the trial for the sentencing hearing. And the judge heard from these young men, and they were all seniors in high school. And this would be a mark on their record forever. And many of them wouldn't be able to pursue anything after this. And the judge decided that he would have no remorse toward these people. And then during the sentencing, he turned to the young man who had decided to take a summer job as a bus driver. And he said, "What would you like to happen to these people?" And the young man took a deep breath and said, "I would like to go to jail on their behalf so that they might be free to go on and have a life." And the judge said, "That's ridiculous, absurd, foolish. No one has ever done that." And the young man, the bus driver, said, "Yes, there was one guy, the same foolish guy who rode a donkey into Jerusalem, embodying forgiveness. White war horse, donkey." Some days ago, I watched the footage of the St. Patrick's Day parade in Naples. Many of you may have attended the parade on Fifth Avenue. And as I watched the footage, I noted the way that many different local organizations decided to portray themselves in that parade so that they could illumine on behalf of their organization who they were. I noted the rides. There was the state politician in a Cadillac, his ride projecting power. There was the local bank in a black Suburban, their ride projecting security. There was Miss Southwest Florida in a red Corvette, her ride projecting beauty. Could you imagine just for a moment Jesus atop a donkey with the Naples UCC bulletin in that parade? Promoting values such as mission trip to Guatemala, Ukrainian refugee relief, cans for communion, Habitat Build Day, Stephen Ministry seminar on forgiveness? Now, the idea of that is indeed laughable. It's almost absurd. In 2024, it sounds downright foolish. But then again, Paul said it would be. The foolishness of God is even wiser than human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Each year, Palm Sunday demands a choice from us. Will we put our trust exclusively in the kings, queens, and kingdoms of this world? Or will we put our trust in the king who rides into Jerusalem atop a foolish donkey, who brings forth peace, love, and joy? Call me foolish, but I believe that this king riding into Jerusalem on a donkey is more meaningful, is more fulfilling, has an everlasting hope that some of the kings and queens and white war horse folks of our age may never know. But if you're still not convinced of this donkey king, if you think I've just been foolish today, if you think this king doesn't have something better to offer than the kings, queens, and kingdoms of this world still, well then, I dare you to come back next Sunday. In just a few moments following the postlude, I hope you'll take a second to greet the newest members of our church fellowship. And before you do, receive this benediction. As you go from this place back out into a world defined by kings and kingdoms, violence, greed, dismay, may you know that you follow a donkey king today, a king whose heavenly kingdom is defined by peace, inclusion, and unconditional love, now, through the cross, and to the tomb, and forevermore. Amen.